to welcome Betty to come and share with us. Thank you, Betty.
My name is Betty. I'm a recovering addict. Thank you, Christina, one of my favorite individuals in this recovery journey, and very supportive of myself. Sometimes she is so kind and compassionate. I wonder what it is about me that she finds so interesting and worthy. And then I have to remind myself that that is not the recovery self-worth, self-esteem way of thinking, which is what I have been working on since I came back into recovery. So when she does that, she helps to remind me that I am changing. I want to recognize Elliot for 9 days. Congratulations, bud. I remember you from last week, and I enjoyed your studious space. That was so interesting. And Roslyn for 11 days. Way to go, girlfriend. Way to go. And Rachel, all the way in India. I hope your legs aren't tired coming here for 23 days. And Lauren, girlfriend, 30 days. Way to go. And 30 days, I was just as cheerful as you are. And it's okay, because the one thing that's going on is that you're feeling and you're allowing yourself to feel and you're not using. That's the difference. Because there are a lot of things that go on when we get clean. I am a relapser. One time I was in a different 12-step program. I was dishonest with myself, which made me dishonest with my recovery. I was not honest about my non-belief in a God of my choice that they suggested. And because I had this unsavory behavior of wanting to fit in, I discounted myself. So therefore, I was not focused on recovery. I also didn't focus on recovery because I heard so many shares about what acquisitions these individuals had since they had gotten clean and sober. And I fixed my mind to think that that's what recovery was all about. When I met the blue-eyed soul brother of my life and he was smoking weed, I found it more important for me to be with him and smoke weed with him, so I left the program. That is not to say that the other program did not work. It says a lot about me and my focus and my dedication and knowledge of what recovery was really about. This time when I came back to recovery, I was one of those people who had experienced the yet. You are entitled to, because I had thumbed my nose at individuals who were using hard drugs. And I ended up being one of the ones who was using hard drugs. I was also using a needle, which I also had this judgmental attitude about. And I was doing what the program talks about, was thinking about changing my drugs of choice, because I no longer had access to my drug of choice immediately. And I was so depressed and suicidal, I figured if I went to crystal meth, I would be elated and not feel so depressed. And for some reason, as I'm sitting in the same spot that I was sitting in at that time, something said to me, you know, you really need to give the 12 steps another chance. And I started going back to the other program, and I was honest. I saw somebody at a meeting and I said, you know what? I really wish I could find an NA meeting. And she had a directory and she handed it to me. That's what we call years ago, my Eskimo. So, since I've been back to the program, a lot has changed for me, and I'm really looking forward to more changes. I have learned a lot about step one, and that drugs was not the only addiction that I had, and my addictions began showing up as I gave up the drug of choice. which included eating and shopping and binge TV watching. So I did the steps through It Works, How and Why with the workbook. So it addresses not only drugs, it addresses all addictions. What I got out of working the steps was a chance to look at myself and acknowledge the things that were sabotaging my growth, kept me into a low self-esteem, low self-worth, unworthy, victim mentality. And I realized that I did a lot of focusing on the past and ruminating on the past and not focusing on being mindful, which another recovery program talks about is that being mindful is being present. And there is an IP that talks about being self-centered, and it also talks about being resentful is being in the past, fear is being in the future. And there was a saying I heard long time ago when I was in the program at first that said, if you focus on the past and focus on the future, you piss all over today. And that's what I was doing. And so today, what's going on with me is I'm trying to deal with the loss of my brother, which I had a trauma bond with. That trauma bond being that we both were abandoned by our parents and put into the foster care system at a very young age. And years ago, the foster care system wasn't about loving, caring parents. It was about getting the money. Anyway, my brother introduced me to drugs, as a matter of fact. I have a history of a lot of trauma, to include molestation, rape, domestic violence, etc. And those are some of the things that I've had to deal with since I came back to the program. And my focus has been living today. And I'm starting to feel like there is a new way of life today. Although I say I am grieving, I am better today than I was the last 3 days when I heard that my brother passed. I was very hurt, and I have to tell you, I did not know what I was feeling. And the one thing that came to mind was, you know, the one thing I am not feeling is a desire to use. So I have to agree, there is a better way of dealing with life's atrocities. To me, it is an atrocity. I was hoping that our bond could grow stronger. Today, I am doing normal things that I did not do for 3 days, and I had to set boundaries on an aunt that I reconnected with some years ago. And I know that she would have wanted to talk about the God thing and God this and God that, and I didn't want to be inappropriate with speech. And I wanted to know and understand my own grief process and what I was going through. And some of that is a little guilt about the complexity of my brother and my relationship. But what that relationship did was it taught me boundaries. It taught me how to get boundaries because of his behavior, which I'm not pointing the finger at. I'm acknowledging that I had not put those boundaries in effect long time ago. So he was only interacting with me as he was accustomed to interacting. And also, I learned that I can take care of myself, such as not letting my aunt override me with the God thing and the God talk. And I will get back in touch with her, but I just had to let her know I'm not up to talking right now, and I will call you when I am. And I felt a little ashamed at first, but then I thought, no, you were taking care of yourself. You know, I have a service position in a brick and mortar meeting, and that has kept me connected. It makes me feel like I am part of NA and I'm giving back. There are some amends that I cannot do because it would cause harm to others, and that other is myself financially, if I was to own up to that, to the institutions that I did harm to, I would be facing federal charges and possibly losing my license. So I'm not willing to do that, and I don't feel that that's necessary. So I make other amends by volunteering and donating. The 11th step was very hard for me. I knew nothing about meditation. Consequently, I found another recovery platform that has afforded me advantages of guided meditations. And so in those meditations, I have learned things about forgiveness. I have learned things about using wise speech, wise concentration, wise understanding, wise intention. That's one of the things that I focus on a bit, quite a bit, because I don't want to intentionally harm someone. Not to say that I wasn't that way. My tongue, as an individual who was angry, I had a lot of anger over my past and my traumas and the world the way it is, and racial inequality issues, blah, 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 blah. And you know that anger needed to be reined in. And so I realized that my tongue was a weapon within itself. And I'm sorry for that, but it is what it is, and I recognize it today. So wise speech is something that I am acutely focused on, non-intentional harming, being mindful. Mindful enough to know that I need to remain in today and be present. There are some times that I'm not able to do it. Even when I'm meditating, I tend to wander, my thoughts wander. But, you know, my mentor says, you know what, it's a thought. If you want to write it down and say thank you for showing up, you can do that, and then do your breathing exercise and attempt to return to your meditation process. I also do meditation walk approximately 5 to 6 days a week. It's very helpful. I also do a gratitude list, which I send to one of my fellow recovering addicts, which helps me to remain grateful. I have started, I just realized I didn't do it this morning. I have started doing a practice of thinking of the three things that I'm grateful before my feet hit the floor, so that my brain does not take over and I start with the negativity, which has greatly decreased, because I notice with my new practices, those thoughts are less and less, and I'm more able to acquire the feeling of I am enough and it's okay where I am right today. And a lot of that has to do with acceptance. And I told my sponsor that I had difficulty with prayer because of my non-belief, and that kind of made me feel I was connecting to religion. And she reminded me that I had told her something that I do periodically when I am distraught, and I say, please let me remember that I need the serenity to accept the things I can't change, to remember that I need to focus on the things I can change, and being willing to let go of those things that I can't change. So there is a way for me to redirect myself. I do get into the mind of the addict thinking, but it's few and far in between. I have more grateful moments than I had when I came in. I do sometimes feel shame, which is another word, another way of saying unworthy, and that I would have much more time if I had remained in recovery. But you know what? I'm here now, and there are many more people who have not shown up for this thing called recovery. So I need to be grateful that I made it back and I did not overdose in my progressive use of drugs. And I need to know that I need to acknowledge when I'm feeling pain and discomfort, and being willing to acknowledge how I'm feeling. Because if I'm not doing that, I'm doing similar things that I did in the effort to not acknowledge my pain and my grief and my discomfort and my feeling less than, which was to isolate, which was to use drugs. Drugs was a way of coping for me because I really did not like living. I used to journal a lot about feeling like I was just existing. And I did nothing about that. Actually, I had no knowledge of what to do about it. I sought help through psychiatry. I also set up my own institution of jail, which was isolating. I isolated in the same room that I'm talking to you in. And I set up my own isolation cell in this same room that I'm talking to you in, because the drugs had me in such a hole that I didn't care about living. It was not meaning for me to live. And when I came back, I was feeling suicidal. I had called a suicide prevention at Kaiser Permanente, which is my insurance, and there was no one there to help me at that time. And I got so desperate that that's what came to my mind, that maybe I needed to get back into recovery. What's a paradox is that today I am so fixated in now looking at the new life that I am experiencing. I am now afraid of death. I wanted death when I was out there using because I was so desperate. But today, life is worth living most times. I am not going to say it's always that way, but it's more times than not. I have people in my life as a result of recovery and as a result of me being vulnerable and open my mouth and being genuine and letting people in, which is something that I have a great deal of problems with. I am used to being betrayed and abandoned and gossiped about. And so I am hesitant many times to relay what's really going on with me and let people in. But you know what? It's either me or them. So what am I going to do? I'm going to use my fear to prevent me from growing. And I don't want to do that. I do want to live today. I do want to experience more of recovery and what it's like to have my eyes open and not be operating with rose-colored glasses, as they used to say. And so using the tools in the program of NA and the tools in my other recovery program has afforded me great insight into learning about Betty and practicing those unsavory behaviors that kept me stuck and sabotaged my own lifestyle. Has been my focus of not doing, because I realized that one of the readings talked about my inability to accept personal responsibility. And that's in the Why Are We Here reading. And it made me focus on how proficient I was professionally, winning awards, letters from the CEO, et cetera, et cetera. But my life was in shambles. And so I lived in a paradox. That was something I couldn't understand. So today I'm understanding that I was looking at being accepted and liked for performing. I was on stage. I have this saying, I'm dancing as fast as I can, which means I was dancing for other people and getting them to like me, see who I am. I didn't know who I am, and I was. There's a song called I've Never Been to Me, and it talks about that. This song talks about dining and traveling and being with kings and queens and rock stars, etc. But the point of the song was, and the chorus says, but I've never been to me. So I'm coming to me as a result of being willing to sit with me and be okay with me. Recovery is worth it. So thank you for letting me hear and be of service.
Betty, wow, thank you so much.